Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 7 June 2023, and you're listening to Financial Survival. As normal, we'll be joined at 4:20 by Melody Cederstrom. Of course, she is the head of her business that runs this whole thing. She's been in business many years, folks, that pays for this broadcast and hopefully blesses you all with information and news, helps you make decisions along the way, and I really mean that, you know, I seriously do. I know she wants to do her best to help you. So anyway, and Wendy will not be here today. Wendy's having some problems, a health problem, nothing I don't think too serious right now, but she's taking a day off to get kind of recoup, and well, I'll do my best to fill in the hour. Melody joins us at 4:20, and with Discount Gold and Silver information to share with you, and we're going to get into all the different things now, and a lot of news to cover, and I hope I do a good job. I'll do the best I can, okay? Let's start with the metals. Metals, well, two were down, two were up. Gold was down 21.70 to 1941.78. Silver is down 12 cents to 23.48. Platinum was up 2.30, 230 cents to 1,038.70. Palladium was up $1.50 to 14.11. So, not much difference, not much variance in the metals there as far as up and down. The Dow was up 92 to 33,665. NASDAQ was down 177 to 13,099. S&P was down 16 to 42,67. FTSE was down 0.05% to 7,624. The DAX was down 0.02% to 15,960. Hang Seng was up 0.80% to 19,252. Nikkei was down 1.82% to 31,913. USDX was down 0.03 to 104.10. Oil was up 0.82 to 72.56. And the 10-year yield was up 0.093 to 3.793. So there you go. Markets, again, you never know. The markets don't seem to change a whole lot either direction to speak of. But now is a good time while the silver prices and gold prices are still down, folks, to get what you can while you can. I know people, if you're like me, you sometimes get a little burnout listening to what's happening on the news and aggravated and frustrated. And I understand that. Believe me, I do. I'm just a man like everybody else. I have no corner on the market as far as any kind of different being different than the other man in this world, actually, except I try to live according to the Word of God and do what's right according to His scriptures and His dictates and His laws. But I'm just a man. And a lot of times folks will get our eyes on so many different things it can be overwhelming. But it we're not, there's no, and Melody said, this is not a doom and gloom program. It's like my broadcast that airs at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on 6115 Shortwave and many stations all across country and on gsradio.net and truthbetoldradionetwork.com and more and more and more I carry this program, my broadcast. We're not trying to be negative. We're trying to share the Bible truths and the facts of what's happening. If nothing else can be brought out of this, all this news, one thing you can say for sure, prophecy in the world, and especially here in America, is being fulfilled every day. And that's a fact. And if you're a Bible believer, folks, you have to realize how close we are to so many things happening that the American people are not going to understand and we have a hard time just believing it. But let's get on with news. Get started. We've got a lot of things covered today. I said 20 after hour, we'll be joined by Melody, and she'll be sharing some things, I'm sure, too. San Francisco CRE apocalypse. The city's two biggest hotels have defaulted. The Marxist crap-covered show that is in San Francisco is imploding before our very eyes in the ways that are both terrifying, memorial, wholly different each day, every day. First, it was commercial real estate. At 30%, the city has the highest office vacancy in the U.S. And amid an existential crisis for the city's tech-focused tenants, finds that it can't even sell office skyscrapers at a far price, far sale price of 80% off the purchase price. And even in the best case, a 71% discount is as good as it gets. It got worse as we detailed. He said, going to talk about what happened in San Francisco about different things of being a ghost town now. But even 80% off the price, they can't even sell a skyscraper. Imagine that, folks, 80% off the cost. Of course, it's not just commercial real estate. Residential is just as bad. With home prices in San Francisco now tumbling double digits year to year, and just that other liberal disaster, Seattle, seeing home prices plunge faster. Folks, it's bad everywhere. But if you live in a liberal state or city, oh my. But while we expect the implosion in residential housing prices to accelerate, it's really CRE where the ticking neutron bomb is to be found. And according to the latest horror story out of San Francisco's commercial real estate market, the owner of two San Francisco's biggest hotels, Hilton San Francisco, Union Square, and Park 55, has stopped mortgage payments and plans to give up the two properties. As the San Francisco Chronicle reports, Park Hotels and Resorts said Monday that it stopped making payments on $725 million loan in November, handing over the keys to the property to the creditors, and expects the ultimate removal of these hotels from its portfolio. The company said it would work in good faith with the loan services to determine the most effective path forward. Wow. Wouldn't you think that even the people that are, I don't mean to sound rude, but these idiots that call themselves leaders and do all these things affects the people, wouldn't you think they could see that they're doing something terribly wrong and change it? Or could it be seriously they just don't care? Or could it be that they're doing it on purpose? These are all things to think about. Are they truly idiots and they can't see it? Or do they just not care? The city is totally crumbling. Infrastructure is falling apart. Morals are just decaying. Lawlessness rules in the streets. And yet, no one seems to want to turn around. And of course, their Governor Newsom, oh well. Apple's new savings bank refusing to let customers withdraw cash. You're keeping our life savings hostage, one of the gentlemen said. This is our natural news. It has been 1 month since Apple launched its new savings account service with Goldman Sachs, and customers everywhere are reporting that they are having trouble accessing their cash. After attracting more than $1 billion worth of deposits in the first 4 days of launch, Apple has apparently restricted its draws and transfers. Now listen up, folks. After attracting more than $1 billion worth of deposits in the first 4 days, Apple has apparently restricted withdrawals and transfers. One man named Nathan Thacker, who lives outside of Atlanta, told the Wall Street Journal that he had continually tried but failed to transfer $1,700 from his Apple account to his J.P. Morgan Chase account. Thacker tried to contact Goldman Sachs numerous times about the issue, only be told to wait a few days for things to clear. It wasn't until the Wall Street Journal interviewed on Thacker's behalf that he was finally able to access his own cash on demand. Another man named Kevin Smith from Minnesota expressed similar complaints, but directly to Apple CEO Tim Cook via Twitter. He asked, "What was your plan to partner with a bank that holds people's life savings hostage?" In Smith's case, he had been trying to transfer $10,000 from his Apple account to U.S. Bank ever since May 16th. When he finally was successful after a lengthy battle with Apple and Goldman Sachs, Smith drained his entire $200,000 life savings from Apple and moved it back to American Express. I can't blame him. But, folks, I'm afraid there's more to this than what we're reading right now. I mean, there's got to be some reason beyond what we're seeing right here as to why Apple did that. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I don't know what the plan was for this. But it makes no difference when people can't get their money and it's in their savings account. They can't even pay their bills. It's something to think about. Could this be a prelude to something to come for most banks in this country? I think so. When they have bank-ins where they keep your money to pay their own bills, well, or bail-ins, they call it, bail-ins, not bank-ins, bail-ins, not a bail-out, bail-in, could millions of people lose all they work for all their lives? Is it possible? Of course it's possible. And the odds are this is going to happen one day. This year, next year, I don't know. I don't think it's years away. I truly don't. Again, that's why I don't keep cash in the bank. I want it where I can get my hands on it. I have no idea what they're going to do next week. No one does, except the ones who plant it. U.S. corn crop deteriorates after Midwest hit by worst drought in decades. Farmers in Corn Belt states have been very concerned about their crops this spring as drought expands across the heartland. The latest weekly report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows the U.S. corn crop deteriorated by the most in nearly 3 years as drought conditions worsened in the Midwest. About 64% of the nation's corn crop was rated good to excellent in the weekly report, a 5 percentage point plunge that was the most significant decline since August 2020. And folks, that's when we were under COVID lockdowns. The drop was more than double of any analyst surveyed by Bloomberg. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Ohio, Wisconsin, often called the Corn Belt states, are experiencing exceptional drought to moderate drought. The timing of the drought this early in the season could stress young plants. The drought, according to Newsweek, could be the worst in 3 decades since the 1983-1985 North American drought. It's still uncertain whether the report will be insufficient, the report will be sufficient to stabilize corn futures. So, folks, I don't know. Corn is it's a filler in a lot of things, and a lot in animal feed. Of course, that's probably another hit on people's wallets, another cause for inflation when they have to pay more for cattle feed and the cost more to raise cattle and chickens and everything else they feed with this. It means prices will go up on our meats and different things, as long as we're allowed to still have real meat. I mean, you know, you never know when that might change. But we see all these little issues that pop up that affect all of us in the long run. There's so many of them happening, we can't cover them all. You don't know which way to look to pick out the next one coming in or coming in so fast. But a drought that would lower the corn crop means either we import it, which costs more, and the price will go up, but we can't get it. The raised prices here make up the difference. I don't know, folks. It's not a good way to look at it, no matter how you look at it. Inflation is for real. It's not going away. It's only going to get worse over a period of time. It may drop a little bit and then go back up a little more, but it's not going to go away because we don't have money in our pockets in the good old U.S. of A. Most nations don't carry money any longer. They carry fiat currencies, which always end up destroying the economy that they're used in. How much does gas mileage cost us? I didn't catch this. I mean, I didn't know this was happening, but it makes sense now that I read it, because manufacturers of automobiles are being fined for not getting the gas mileage up to where the government wants them to be. So they're getting fined. They got to pay fines and millions of dollars. And guess who has to foot that bill again? Passed on to the cost of consumers. Think about that. Penalties are what you're forced to pay when you've done nothing wrong. Repeat that. Penalties are what you're forced to pay when you've done nothing wrong, as opposed to something criminal, like selling cars to people who want to buy them. They use more gas than the government says they're allowed to. Stellantis, the corporation that currently owns the Dodge, Jeep, and Ram truck brands, was recently penalized by the federal apparent to the tune of $235.5 million for doing just that. The penalties were imposed because Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles sold during the 2018-19 model years didn't comply with the apparent corporate average fuel economy decrees regarding how many miles per gallon a vehicle must go, irrespective of how little the buyer cares. The EPA said in December Stellantis had the lowest real-world fuel economy among all major automakers at 21.3 miles per gallon or on average in 2021, according to Reuters' news story about the business. My question is, well, so what? Who cares? But anyway, was anyone forced to buy one of those offending vehicles, as opposed to the force being applied by the apparent to force them off the market? As the Reuters story explains, the penalties for noncompliance have tripled to $15 for every 0.1 MPG of noncompliance, up from $5.50 before the Biden thing was selected resident. Now let me repeat that. Since Biden took office, the penalty that was charged has gone to $15 for every 0.1 mile per gallon of noncompliance, up from $5.50. Since Biden took office. The MPG decrees have been coming down since the 70s, are nearly double now what they originally were, approaching 40 miles per gallon and on track because of newly hurled decrees to ascend to 50. What kind of automobile are you going to get 50 miles a gallon? I don't know. You tell me. In April 2022, NHTSA sharply boosted fuel economy standards, reversing former President Donald Trump's rollback of the U.S. regulations aimed by improving gas mileage. The organization raised fuel efficiency requirements by 8% for both 24-25 model years and 10% 2026. This effectively out-regulates, as distinct from outlawing, most of the vehicle sales and not just sales. But let me repeat that. This effectively out-regulates, as distinct from outlawing, most of the vehicles sales and sales. Or rather, that sell well. The penalties are purposely designed to make them too expensive to sell, or rather, too expensive to buy for most of those who would otherwise like to, which is an interesting thing given that the supposedly benevolent reason for these rigs is to save people money that they'd otherwise spend on gas, you see. How stupid. How insane. How controlling. It is no wonder. It is no wonder our nation is so complicated and people are so frustrated. I mean, it's no wonder that we can't, nothing in this world is ever simple anymore. I mean, nothing is ever, it gets more and more complicated every day. More and more rules, more and more regulation, more and more control every day. And I just wonder, how much longer before the people say it's enough and over enough? I don't know, folks. We got more to talk about today, a lot more to talk about. Amelia's going to join us after the break. On things that you're going to hear it, these are real stories. But if you're like me, sometimes you have a hard time letting it sink in. Many years ago, I was told that one day American residents would be forced to let illegals live in their home. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. That one day, this is on the news 15, 20 years ago, Americans would have to share their homes with illegals or foreigners if their home was big enough to house them and three, four, or five other people. Well, we're going to discuss in a minute that in New York City, this is already starting to happen. This is all coming together. We've got a few more stories to get to before that one. But this is happening, folks. It's for real. Back at the break. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and this is Pastor Butch Paul. Melody's going to join us right now with this next segment. We're trying to cover news, folks, and I hope and sincerely pray that you're preparing for what's coming on this country. And I know for a fact from talking to people every day the effects that this society is having on them in every way possible, morally, economically, every other way possible. I talk to them. I know what's done to them. I see it. I see it, literally see it. And hear it. But her number to call and talk to get yourself a little bit prepared is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And now we're joined by Miss Melody Cederstrom. Miss Melody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just wonderful, thank you. And thank you for always filling in for the first 20 minutes on Wednesday. And, we've been having a very high air quality alert here on the East Coast, and it's certainly bad up there through New York and everything, but we're actually getting the stuff down, the smoke down from Canada.
Yes.
And I'm just amazed. I didn't realize. I heard briefly this morning a report. There's over 6 million acres that are burning up there in Canada. 6 to 9. I thought I heard somebody say 6, and I thought I heard somebody say 9. Still, either or, an incredible number of acreage to be burned. And it is very hazy. I was out for a couple of hours, and, it gave me a headache. And so it's So I know a lot of people have stayed in. I should have stayed in, but I'm a trooper. But anyway, so those of you that are listening on the East Coast, and we do have many, take heed, take caution, and be careful out there.
It's already down to the Carolinas. We're having some here in West Virginia, but it's already down to the Carolinas. This is affecting a huge part of the country.
Yeah.
It really is. And, yeah, you can actually, I won't say you can smell it, but you kind of can smell it in the air.
We can smell it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. It's just, so, yeah, I mean,
it's
this
not
is
a,
real.
A big, yeah, it's not a big, like you're sitting at a campfire, but you can smell the difference in the air.
It's just amazing. Again, you said, how many acres you said?
6+ million.
That is absolutely huge. That's unbelievably huge.
Their normal fire season burns over 300,000.
Wow.
So that's a big, big, big difference. So
I reckon so.
Hopefully the jet stream bumps its way up and, you know, takes it closer, keeping it up further north. But take heed, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful out there. I'm not going to be going out anymore until it's gone. So,
and that might be a few days away. You know that.
Could be.
We'll go back to the news here. We got a lot to talk about, Melody. And I'm going to share in a minute. I'm going to share the story next after this story.
Well, that was news, too.
Yeah, that was news. That's sad news, literally.
Yes.
I wonder how many homes are burnt with that.
I don't know.
And with that many millions of acres, there's got to be some homes involved, wouldn't you think?
I don't know. Canada is pretty... You got a lot of open land up there, so... it's not like California. When California burns, yeah, you get a lot of homes and so forth, but you got a lot of open acreage up there.
That's just unbelievably huge. I can't imagine what that must be like. I've never heard anything like it before. But anyway, infuriating. College tuition made free for illegal immigrants in Minnesota. How much longer? Minnesota's approved legislation that will allow legal immigrants to benefit from the state's education aid program, offering to make tuition 100% free in higher education. Gee, Melody, they can afford that, I'm sure. HF 2073 is a bill related to higher education, which includes a North Star Promise tuition fee program. North Star Promise allows eligible students in the state, including illegal immigrants, to be eligible for 100% free college tuition, provided the family adjusted gross income is less than $80,000. Tuition fees are applicable for enrollees in a two to four-year program within the University of Minnesota or the Minnesota State System. The bill passed both the House and State with Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, approving the program on May 24th. The legislature's Democratic majority had voted in to support the bill. Now, I just got to say this, Melody. I don't think tuition should be free for anybody. I don't. No. It's never free. There's no such thing as free, folks. Somebody's got to pay it. It's not free. The taxpayer's going to pay it. To the tune of, according to this article, $49.5 million per year. It's going to cost that much. But the ones who are illegal, haven't even been here to pay taxes, to do anything with it, to build anything, are going to get it for free, too. Money, what do you think about that?
I always was told there was nothing in this world that is free, and money doesn't
Absolutely.
Grow on trees. It does grow in the treasuries, the Federal Reserve's printing presses. That's where it grows. But, but yeah, you know, it's just – and you know what? Do you hear anybody complaining? Is there any one single politician in there? No. Nope. So, hey.
It's just a matter of time
until we all pay restitution for everybody and everything. So,
as long as people
continue to pay their taxes, and I'm not telling you not to pay your taxes, but as long as people continue to pay their taxes, they're going to continue to do all of these stupid programs.
Unfortunately, you're right. And California is definitely proof of that.
the only one way that we could actually bring this country to its knees, and I'm not saying this should happen. I'm not, you know, wanting it to happen or anything like that. My view is if there was a grassroots movement and 1 year, if you get, I don't know what the percentage we would need, not pay your taxes.
Well, do you remember when Poland shut down? Mm-hmm. And Lithuania, they shut down the country mm-hmm. to bring them to their knees. You know, if you cut off the blood flow to the to the leeches that are bleeding us dry, you cut the blood flow, they're going to either going to die or go somewhere else, aren't they?
Certainly.
So there you go. It's not anyway, those are
not going to happen. Parasites. But
no, it's not. No, it isn't going to happen.
Not going to
happen. Parasites. They're parasites.
Yep.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he may open Gracie Mansion, the residence of the city's mayor, to newly arrived border crossers and illegal aliens as an offer never previously made to homeless New Yorkers. Wow. During a press conference on Monday, Adams was asked whether he would open his residence to migrants after he announced a plan, now pay attention to this, folks, that would have New Yorkers being paid by the city to house border crossers and illegal aliens in their homes. Okay, you're going to pay them again. Who's going to pay them? The city doesn't produce anything to earn the money to pay them with, so that means taxpayers are going to pay them. Right now they're going to offer to pay a million. One day they're going to say you're going to do it without pay. Many years ago, I read an article about one day you'd be housing illegals in your home against your will. I think it happened with the Revolution where they housed soldiers in people's homes against their will. Well, now we're going to see illegals going in people's homes, and one day it will be against your will. Matter of fact, in California, they can camp on your property now, and you can't do a thing about it. But now they're going to pay New Yorkers to house illegals. Adams said he's looking into options that would see a handful of border crossers and illegal aliens being housed at Gracie Mansion. I was speaking with the staff to see if I can put a few families into Gracie Mansion. I'm a big believer in leading from the front, it continued. And if it doesn't go against legal protocol, because there are protocols that are in place that I can't use the building anyway, I want, but I don't have a problem if I could put a migrant family in Gracie Mansion. Since Adams took office, no such offer had been made to New York City's homeless residents, which has ballooned to the highest level since the Great Depression in recent years. By December 2022, New York City had nearly 70,000 homeless residents living in the shelter system, including 22,000 children and more than 22,700 single adults. Likewise, almost 3,500 New Yorkers were living on the streets of the city. Illegal immigration is costing New York City taxpayers already some of the most tax-burdened Americans in the nation about $5 million every day, Mel. $5 million every day. Over the next 2 years, Adams predicts illegal immigration will cost New York City more than $4.2 billion. That's over the next 2 years, folks. Over $4 billion. Right now they're paying over $5 million a day. Gee, Melody.
Yes.
That's a little bit steep. And again, who's footing the bill? They're one of the most tax-burdened people in the world, New York City residents, or New York State, period. But now they're going to add another five. They're already up to $5 million a day extra in taxes to house these people.
Wow.
So, I don't know. You figure it out and you think what's best about that. I have no idea, but I think that should be enough to make people stand up and pay attention. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you would think, but is it going to?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I doubt it. And this next story is almost humorous. New York City, good old New York City, installs free crack pipe dispensers.
I know, I saw that.
Oh. The street, now when they do that for hot dogs, I may show up. But anyway, the street corner boxes also offer overdose reversal drug Narcan and condoms. Reportedly will soon contain syringes. New York City's first public health vending machine, stocked with free drug paraphernalia, and unveiled on the corner of Brooklyn's drug-infested Brownsville neighborhood on Monday, had already been cleaned out of almost all its contents 24 hours later, the New York Post reported on Tuesday. Well-stocked with safer smoking kits, containing free crack pipes, safer sniffing equipment, fentanyl testing strips, overdose reversing Narcan nasal sprays, nicotine gum, and condoms on Monday morning. The big blue box contained just one overdose reversal kit and a pair of testing strips the next day. The city plans to install three more of these street corner smoke shops, each costing $11,000, in neighborhoods suffering the most from the opioid overdose crisis. The contents will remain free to anyone who enters their zip code on the keypad, and nonprofit services for the underserved will maintain them. We are in the midst of an overdose crisis in a city which is taking a fellow New Yorker from us every 3 hours, is a major cause of falling life expectancy in New York City. So what you do? Make it easy for them to do more drugs. That's easy. They're dying. We don't want them to die so quickly. So we'll get more free stuff to send you more drugs and get by with it. They'll live longer. But they're
saying they don't want them to die.
Of course they are.
But to me, maybe this is a way to make them die sooner.
That's a very good point. But how far would the insanity go before somebody figures, hey, this is insane. Maybe we should slow it down a little bit.
And you know what always irritates me, Butch, is because then you'll always hear these people who come back will say, well, you know, if you go over to Sweden or if you go over to, you know, Norway, or you go over to one of those European countries, and they give drugs to their citizens and so forth and whatnot. And, okay, look at those countries. Is that what you want to be? That's good? They're a great example? How can people look at that as a good example of the way you want to live in a country? It goes beyond. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Over 35, 40 years ago, I talked to some Canadians that I knew back then who was warning the United States about not starting socialized medicine. People in Canada were coming to the States to have surgeries done. They couldn't get done up here because their waiting list was too long. They couldn't wait. They said, they warned us, don't do that. Well, guess what, Melody? We did it. We did it. I don't know. I guess Americans, and I'm going to share an article in a little bit, where the Generation Z, I believe they call them, over a third of them thinks it would be a good idea to have cameras in people's homes to keep an eye on them. That's where Americans are today.
And people agree with that.
You agree with that?
I mean, I don't, but people do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Generation Z, over a third of them do. People our age, like 6% would even think about it. But this is, you change your attitude. You change your outlook. You do it a little bit at a time. They didn't bring in socialism and communism overnight, Mel. It took a little while to get us used to the idea. It started on Social Security. That's where it started. That's one of the big places it started, mm-hmm. Social Security and WPA, Working People of America, under Roosevelt, putting people to work and taxpayers paying for it. It started during the Great Depression that was manufactured by people to bring us to this point. But the people can't see it. And each generation gets worse. They offer more freebies, and everybody says, yes, sir, and we take them and get more and more entangled and enchained to the government and the handouts. Now we're so far involved, we couldn't shake loose if we wanted to. So there you go. Turkish lira craters 7% in record drop, hits all-time low as state banks retreat from defense. 1 month ago, we told readers our premium subscriber fee that shorting the Turkish lira was our highest conviction trade. We were right. Just under a month later, the lira has lost almost 20%, a staggering, unprecedented move in the world of FX. And those who follow our RICO and size can take a few months off. But the move is nowhere near over. Tonight, the Turkish lira tumbled as much as 7%, its biggest drop on record in absolute terms. So the lira is dropping, folks, to nothing. The ongoing plunge in lira weakening the 12th straight day comes more than a week after Turkish President Erdogan won re-election in a runoff, an election in which the president fought tooth and nail to preserve normality, was selling dollars at a record pace just to avoid what we are seeing now. Turkey is going down financially. But it's not by itself, Melody. A lot of nations are going down financially because of fiat currency.
True.
Go ahead and take us out.
Are we at break time already? Is that how Almost. You want me to take it out, by questioning? Wow. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Butch asked me to bring us back in, so I did. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
You remember a few months ago when France was up in arms over the retirement age? Well,
moved up 2 years.
Yeah, right. French pension protest enters day 14. Fatigue high. Thousands remain. It says French unions hope to reignite resistance to President Emmanuel Macron's high retirement age with what may be a final surge of nationwide protests and scattered strikes. Despite minor disruptions, turnout was much lower than previous protests. French union activists marched on the headquarters of the Paris Olympics and slowed traffic at the capital's Orly airport with strikes Tuesday as they sought to reignite resistance to a high retirement age. But the last-ditch effort drew fewer followers than at the height of the movement earlier this year, and even some union leaders seemed to be ready to move on. President Emmanuel Macron's move to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64 and forced the measure through the parliament without a vote inflamed public emotions and triggered some of France's biggest demonstrations in years. But the intensity of anger of the pension reform has ebbed since the last big protest on May 1st, and since the major became law in April. The point you made a minute ago, what are people going to do about it? You made the point. Well, you see right here again. Erdogan and his group, or I'm sorry, Macron and his group just said, we'll just stand our ground. These people will go away. Well, guess what? They're going away. Enthusiasm to stand against this is dying down. People are getting used to it. As you said, people get used to anything, Melody. You said it, and you were right on. They got used to the idea now. So why protest any longer? I mean, what can I add to that? That's just the way it is.
Well, they know they're not going to change anything.
No, they haven't. Well, they had hundreds of thousands out in the streets, but Macron didn't move. And people finally went home. And they have to do something. They got to do something to pay the bills. They have to go back to work sooner or later. So they just starved them out, so to speak. EU's economic engine grinding to a halt. Factory orders in Germany dropped in April amid persistently high prices that caused a decline in larger-scale purchase. Data from the country's Federal Statistics Office, Destatis, showed on Tuesday. Overall, new orders in manufacturing fell 0.4% from the previous month. The drop in bookings was smaller than in March, when they plummeted 10.9% from February, the biggest fall since April 2020 during the COVID-19 lockdowns. 2020, folks, everything shut down. Think about that. And this was worse. This was the biggest fall since then. However, the decline was notable in comparison to last year's figures, with orders plunging 9.9% versus last April. The data revealed a significant difference in orders across industrial sectors. Bookings in machinery and equipment manufacturing fell 6.2% month-on-month in April, while miscellaneous vehicle construction, which includes ships, trains, aircraft, spacecraft, and army vehicles, plunged 34%. These sectors had a particularly strong negative impact on the overall statistics, decided to say. So, yeah, that's huge. And America now, of course, is going in the hole again with buying and selling to foreign countries. We're losing ground again. We're importing more than we're selling. It has been for years. It's just getting worse. Anything to add to that, Melody?
No, sir.
Now we're going to talk about what we discussed a minute ago. This article starts out like totally Orwellian. Nearly a third of Generation Z favors government surveillance cameras in every household. Wow. It wasn't that many years ago, people would have said no. They would have said more than no. Nearly one-third of Generation Z says that they'll be just fine with government-installed surveillance cameras in every household under the guise of reducing domestic violence and other illegal activity. Would you favor or oppose the government installing surveillance cameras in every household to reduce domestic violence, abuse, and other illegal activity? Ask a new survey from the Cato Institute. Of the responses, 29% of those aged 18 to 29 said yes. In 1791, the utilitarian philosopher Jeremy Bentham proposed building a pentacopticon, which people or behaviors could be monitored at all times. This word I just used is a prison built in a circle with a watchtower in the middle, so they can see everybody, what's going on all around them all the time. But Bentham's Pentacopticon was meant to be a prison. A sizable segment of Generation Z would like to call it home. When it comes to other age brackets, 20% of millennials between the ages of 30 and 44 also want everyone watched. So we got 20% of millennials and 30% roughly of the Generation Z. That's right there is 59% of people that would like to have cameras in the homes. Then wisdom appears to kick in as just 6% of Americans aged 45 and older were okay with government surveillance in every home. Broken down by politics, 19% of liberals and 18% of centrists agree that our daily lives should be monitored by the government for our own safety, while 9 through 11% of those who identify as conservative, or very liberal agree to what appears to be a horseshoe issue that unites both sides of the political spectrum. Broken down by race, 33% of black Americans said they'd be fine with government in-home surveillance, 25% of Hispanics, 11% of whites, and 9% of Asians also. The question was asked as what part of the Cato Institute survey on American attitudes on the prospect of central bank digital currency. What's interesting about that is 53% of Americans who support a CBDC also support home surveillance cameras. Total control, folks, financially, personally, nothing would be private. Nothing would be private. And I don't know. I guess that's just a sign of the times that we live in, Mel. I mean, we've lost even the desire to be free. We don't mind being pampered and kept. We don't want freedom. We want security. And Ben Franklin said, if you desire one, you don't deserve either one. If you desire security over liberty, you don't deserve either one of them. But we have become people that are so afraid to step out on our own and with challenges to take care of our own lives that we'll accept cameras in our home and a controlled currency. Isn't that something?
Well, the world is changing. And these are all signs of what the future holds. And, you know, there's nothing we can do to change that.
No.
You know, as the younger generation ages and, you know, they continue to embrace, we see what technology is doing. And we see, you know, the AI is interesting. I had a conversation last night with somebody from Microsoft, and they said they've been working on AI for about 10 years. And I says, well, is it really true that AI is going to be the end of civilization? They says, no. And of course, that's what they would say. But it was interesting because they said it's going to be very beneficial for some things, for business, for corporations. But where the issues are going to be happening is from your social media. And they said you won't know who is saying what. You won't know if you think that you're watching President Trump, you won't know if it's him or not.
Oh yeah. That is mind blowing.
And, I mean, this is where we're headed and people are, the younger generation is certainly embracing it. So
it is unbelievable.
And it's not going to change.
No. We may open a few people's eyes what's happening, but overall,
it's not going to change.
No, it isn't. People have become too brainwashed. WHO adopts European-style COVID-19 vaccine passports as part of a new global digital health certificate. I said global, folks. We're part of the global. The WHO said it will take up the European Union's digital COVID-19 vaccine passport framework as part of a new global network of digital health certificates. That ties in, folks, with cameras never home. It all goes together. The WHO said in a June 5th statement that it has entered into a landmark digital health partnership with the European Commission, the European Union's executive body. As part of this new joint venture, Europe's existing framework of digital vaccine passports will serve as the first building block of a global network of digital health products. Dubbed the Global Digital Health Certification Network, the new vaccine passport framework has already drawn criticism, with Australian Senator Alex Antic saying in a statement that the move is just another conspiracy theory coming true. That's right. We warned about this years ago, folks. We did. I don't know if you ever knew, I'm trying to think of his last name. He passed away some years ago. He was a state trooper, retired, Greg Evenson. Did you know him?
I knew who he was.
Okay. Super, super good Christian man. Spoke at a couple of seminars. And as you can find his folks online. It's on the internet now. He warned back in the early 2000s in one of the seminars that one day they'll be asking for your passport, which will be your digital health passport to travel across country. Now, he said that, and no one believed him. They thought, that won't be happening. Well, they're working on it right now. So anyway, vaccine passports and various other forms of digital ID schemes have been criticized as an invasion of privacy and as having the potential to enable governments and corporations to coerce human behavior by, for instance, denying access to infrastructure or services. The WHO said in a statement that as part of the new initiative, it will take up the European Union system of digital COVID-19 certification to establish a global system that will help facilitate global mobility and protect citizens across the world from ongoing and future health threats. The EU's digital COVID-19 vaccine certificate entered into force in July 2021 with over 2.3 billion certificates issued. Okay, there you go. I don't know what to say about that. It is what it is. People are getting used to the idea of being monitored even in their homes. Why shouldn't we have a passport in order to leave a country, even go state to state? Why don't we? Shouldn't we have that? It's for our own good. Besides, if you don't take it, you won't get your CBDC this month, which means you can't buy food and you can't pay your bills. So you better go along with it. I do believe that's akin to the mark of the beast technology, folks. I think it's getting very close to the idea that you can buy or sell or trade without it. Comments on LD?
Well, I think the first beast mark of the beast was a Social Security card, but Social Security number.
That was a big step in it. That was a big step.
Yeah. Huge conditioning step. Conditioning of the people.
Well, the digital picture on the driver's license, the number of the driver's license, all that's part of it. It's all control. Even business licenses are control. I mean, why do you have a license?
You can buy and sell without a driver's license, but you can't buy and sell without a Social Security card.
Well, you really can't buy and sell without a driver's license. You try to cash checks someplace without a driver's license.
I haven't gone into a store to cash a check in ages.
A lot of people do, but they ask for ID. If you go and buy a pack of cigarettes, I don't care how old you are, you got to show ID.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's getting into that. Mm-hmm. We might have time to do one more story here, and this is a sad story. Crime plunges in Haiti amid brutal vigilante campaign. A rise in vigilante justice. Now, folks, this is coming to America. Don't just look at Haiti and shrug. It's coming here. A rise in vigilante justice on the impoverished island of Haiti reportedly led to a dramatic reduction in vicious gang violence that has plagued the island for years. The New York Times reported that the brutal vigilante campaign began in late April when a group of people overpowered a police in Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, after they took 14 alleged gang members into custody. The group of vigilantes took the suspects outside, doused them with gasoline, and burned them to death. Since the 14 suspects were executed, civilians reportedly killed at least 160 additional gang members in the area, the report said. The report said that the vigilante campaign has led to a sharp drop in kidnappings and killings attributed to gangs. People in areas infested with the gangs have reported leaving their homes for a long time and often faced extortion. In less than a 10-day span last summer, 3,500 people were murdered in the city, leaving many afraid to even go to buy food. Before the 24th, every day someone passed by and demanded that I give him money because of my little business, one resident told the newspaper. When I had no money, they took whatever they wanted from a table, and this happened at any time of the day. Burning gang members' lives appears to be one of the vigilantes' preferred methods for dealing with the thugs. The reaction of the population after years of gangs impoverishing their law can be attributed to self-defense, Gideon Jean, the executive director of CARDH, told the New York Times. Gangs are supported by certain authorities, politicians, and business people. At almost all levels of the police force, gangs have links with police officers. The police do not have the means to systematically and simultaneously confront the growing gangs. The gang problem exploded when Haitian President Jovenel Moïse was assassinated at his home 2 years ago. The result has been a power vacuum in a country on the brink of civil war. Well, I would call this civil war. I really would. Mel, you're about out of time.
We are? Yes, we are. Ma'am. Great job. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hopefully Wendy will be back with us next week. So, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, have a safe evening, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my